Chapter 11. My brain felt fried and exhausted as I stared Lucien down. I barely had time to come up with a way to reason with him, and from the way he looked, I knew that was going to be a difficult task. The scientist was sober, but he was visibly out of his mind with rage. Lucien fully believed that Edeny and I were madly in love, which was only partly true on the Duchess's side. The blonde man took a determined step forward, gripped the hilt of the curved silver sword in both hands, and bared his teeth at me as if he were a rabid dog. "Lucien, listen," I grunted, raised both of my full hands into the air, and showed him I had no ill intent. "Whatever you're here for, may it be that you want to kill me or severely injure me, what you believe isn't true. The Duchess and I aren't in love. Edeny only asked for me to come work for her again because your experiments failed. It's nothing to do with emotions or love."
"That's a lie," the scientist roared. "Edeny is deeply and madly in love with you. She told me herself. She cast me away as if I were nothing to her. I'm the brute that's meant to stand by her side and support her."
"I'm sure if you just talked to her, she would explain this whole situation. Edeny will tell you why she did this, and it has nothing to do with us being in love with each other."
"I've heard all this before, alchemist, and all of it is utter bullshit. You know it's bullshit, Charles. You're lying straight to my face. I was here the night you came back from the black market. I saw you sleeping in the same room together. Try to lie your way out of that."
I couldn't explain that part away because, well, Edeny had slept in my bed that night, although we hadn't had sex. Though I doubted, even if I told Lucien that fact, he would listen or believe me. If there was no peaceful way to resolve this, I was going to have to fight, and unarmed at that.
"Lucien, please, listen to me," I tried one more time. "None of what you think is happening. Edeny and I aren't involved romantically. She's my employer, just as she was yours. Josephine and Daisy are my mistresses, and they can come out here and tell you the situation if you like. Everything that you believe is false."
"I don't need to hear it from your mistresses. I've seen it with my own eyes. Hell, Edeny was the one who told me she was in love with you. That night at the masquerade, I remember her saying something. The memory is a little fuzzy because I drank too much, but it's there. I know she confessed to you."
"What you're imagining must be a dream," I argued. "I never spoke to you at the masquerade. I was with my mistress and her cousins the entire night." "You must be imagining things, Lucien. That didn't happen, and my mistress can confirm it. Think rationally, like a scientist." The tip of Lucien's sword lowered for a second, and his eyes fell to the gravel at his feet. The scientist's lips moved as if he were speaking, but no words came out that I could hear. He seemed to ponder deeply on what I'd just said, but suddenly he shook his head and took another step forward.
"No, you're trying to manipulate me. You are still lying. I know you are. You can't fool me, Charles Rayburn. I've heard all about you from the other aristocrats in town, and I know that you're nothing more than vermin trash that takes advantage of women. You used Edeny the first time, and she doesn't realize it because her love for you blinds her. But I see it. I saw how you connived your way back into her life. You don't love her. You love her money and the prestige she can give you."
"None of that matters to me. I don't care about money or prestige."
"It doesn't matter to me either,"
Lucien roared, raised the sword over his head, and pounded forward.
"Nothing will matter because you'll be dead."
The rolled maps fell from my hands, and I stepped to the left as Lucien lunged. The sword cut through the air, inches from my forearm, and a guttural growl escaped my lips. I'd been in a few fights before, but they were fisticuffs matches with other brutes that didn't involve blades. Lucien didn't seem practiced with a sword, and I had to wonder where he'd gotten it. The black market, maybe? He'd been there the night we were, and there were plenty of stalls selling weapons that night. The blonde stumbled forward and nearly tripped on his own shoes, but I saw the perfect opening. I brought my right hand back at waist level and then punched out with all of my might. I gritted my teeth and hit him directly in the middle of his ribs. The crack that came after was so loud that it echoed down the steep hill, and I felt the bone underneath my fist crack in a few places. Lucien squawked in pain, stumbled to the side, and whipped his head in my direction.
"Oh, you bastard!"
the scientist screamed. Lucien braced his feet and skidded through the gravel for a second as he changed direction. He breathed heavily for a second, dropped his hand from the sword, and clutched at his broken ribs.
"I hit you once. Is that all you got? You're a brute, Lucien. Act like one."
I was surprised at my boldness, and never had I spoken to another man like this. I'd spent most of my adolescence in the boarding schools for brutes, and I'd been trained to speak to everyone, even other brutes, as if they were aristocrats. Men who were caught brawling out in the streets were often thrown into jail for months on end, and no male wanted that. Not only was I exhausted and tired, but I was also fed up. I had to deal with Edeny daily, track down Killara, and now Lucien was here threatening me with a sword? Was all of this a nightmare and I'd yet to wake up? I prayed that I'd be roused from this horrible dream and find myself in bed, surrounded by all of my women. But I knew this wasn't a dream, and all of it was too vivid to be anything but reality.
"A brute! A brute, you say? I'm a distinguished doctor and scientist. You're the one who's the beast."
"But you're also the one who brought a sword to my home and attacked me while I was unarmed. If Edeny were to see you, we all know what she'd call you. Nothing more than vermin trash. You may be a scientist and a doctor, Lucien, but no matter how much knowledge we possess, we're still brutes in their eyes."
"Edeny doesn't see me that way. Or at least I thought she didn't. That's why I must kill you. I'll bring her your severed head on the end of my sword, and she will swoon at my bravery. I managed to kill the incubus that charmed her. I'll be crowned a hero."
"Do you actually believe the bullshit spilling out of your own mouth? Let's just say you manage to kill me, and you find yourself on the steps of the duchy with my head in your possession. Do you think that Edeny would be delighted? You already believe that we're in love. Do you think she'd be happy?"
"No. I'll give you some insight into what would happen if you managed to kill me. Boom, you're dead. Edeny killed you before you even had the chance to speak. Am I making this a bit more clear for you, Lucien? If you manage to kill me, Edeny will not praise you or crown you a hero. She will kill you. End of story."
"You are nothing more than an incubus!"
Lucien dashed forward, planted his right foot, and then swung out with his sword.
"I will make Edeny love me!"
The scientist aimed to upswing and slash me across the chest, but I jumped back in time. The blond man's entire torso twisted from the heavy weight of his weapon, and as he clumsily moved to bring the sword back down, I moved in. I didn't want to kill him. I'd gone out of my way to convince Edeny to spare his life, and I made it my mission to incapacitate him. Lucien was a fellow man, and I couldn't bring myself to take another male's life for a pointless reason. I relaxed my entire body, loosened my arms, and curled both of my hands into tight fists. I took a single step forward, and for a second, the blonde's head turned away from me. I spied the place where I needed to hit him above the ear, but right below the hairline. If I got it exactly right, Lucien would be out like a light, and I'd be able to figure out what to do with him next. I pulled my right hand back over my shoulder, swiveled my hips to take another step, and swung. Lucien's face suddenly turned, and I didn't have time to adjust my aim. The blond man's nose squashed flat against his face, and a spray of blood spattered my white shirt, but the sword clattered out of his hands. I drew back my left hand right as I retracted the right and hit him in the face for a second time. My fist slammed into his eye, and Lucien stumbled backward with a low groan. His arms pinwheeled around behind him, and his feet shuffled in the gravel, but he never managed to regain balance. The scientist fell flat on his back on the driveway, struggled for a few seconds, and then laid still. I breathed a shaky sigh and leaned forward with my hands pressed to my knees. I sucked in air so quickly as if I hadn't taken a single breath during the fight. My knuckles were spattered with splotches of scarlet, and I glanced down at the wet fabric of my shirt. I wasn't covered in Lucien's blood, but the sticky liquid was present all over my body. The tiniest of droplets flecked the snow-white fabric of my shirt's shoulders. Larger droplets collected around the collar, and large stains covered my chest. I knew it was on my face, too, and I hastily used my sleeve to wipe them away. I had no idea what we were going to do with Lucien. Maybe the best choice would be to send his unconscious body off to the capital in a carriage. I certainly couldn't leave him or allow him to live in the city of Edenheart for much longer. If Edeny saw him here, she would kill him without hesitation. He may have tried to kill me, but he was still a man, and I didn't want him to lose his life for a senseless reason. I also felt some kinship with him, since we were both men of science. "God damn it," I grunted. I stood up straight, nudged the scientist's leg with the tip of my shoe, and when he didn't rouse, I turned back toward my dropped maps. I bent down beside them and carefully placed them into the crook of my arm. They weren't really that important at this moment, but they were ancient, and I was sure if they got any blood on them, they'd be unreadable. I began to stand, but something cold and sharp bit into the back of my neck.
"Move another muscle," a heated voice hissed, "and I'll chop your fucking head off." Lucien? How? He was unconscious just a second ago. Had he been faking?
I'd hit him hard enough to knock him out unless he was an expert actor. I couldn't let it end like this. If Lucien killed me, my women would be alone in the world, and they needed me more than anything. Had the last time I saw them been the last? All of them were inside, waiting for me, and I bet that none of them knew what was going on. How would they find me if I didn't escape this? Would I be nothing more than a headless corpse on the lawn?
"Lucien, listen to me. If you kill me, Edeny will destroy you. Put down your sword and walk away. Go back to the capital and put all of this behind you. Edeny will never love you. She's made that pretty clear. But if you let all of this go now, you'll be able to live. Go home to the capital. Find yourself a nice aristocrat and become her consort. I'm sure that once a few months, even weeks, have passed, you'll forget all about the Duchess."
"Enough talking, Rayburn! I'm tired of hearing your lies. Groveling to me won't get you anywhere. All you want to do is save your life and keep living in the Duchess's favor. I vowed that I'd kill you, and here I am to make good on that promise."
"I'm not trying to save my life. I'm trying to save yours. That's why I knocked you out, so that we could send you back to the capital, safe and sound."
"And why would you want to do that, alchemist? So that you and Edeny can look back at this time and laugh at me? You want to make me the brunt of every joke? No, the Duchess's affections are mine. I deserve them."
"I'm trying to save your life because I'm tired of men being killed. Don't you get tired of watching aristocrats slaughter your sex at every turn? Aren't you tired of all the suffering? I know I am. Lucien, I'm trying to spare you. If you let go of this, you can go back home and live a moderately happy life. You don't have to die."
"Maybe I want to die. I'd rather die than not receive the Duchess's love. If someone has to kill me, I want it to be her."
The blade pressed into my neck wavered slightly and then lifted from my skin as Lucien waved his arms around madly. I dived forward, slammed my palms into the jagged gravel, and rolled away from the madman, but not before he slashed at me with his sword's blade. I cried out as the weapon ripped through the fabric of my shirt and sliced into the flesh of my upper arm. Blood spurted out in a stream and then poured down the sleeve of my shirt. I clamped a hand over it and jumped to my feet, but kept a reasonable distance between the two of us.
"God damn it! God damn it! God damn it!"
the scientist screamed and swung his blade wildly.
"Sit still and let me kill you!"
"Yeah, sure. Has saying that ever worked for anyone?"
Lucien didn't reply, and his lips curled back against his teeth in a vicious snarl. His hands curled around the hilt of the sword, and he stepped toward me with more determination than ever before. I'd gotten off a few pretty good shots in this fight, but he'd managed to cut me. I had no weapon, and I was sure that the scientist wouldn't allow me near enough to hit him again. If this went on for much longer, maybe Lucien would get his wish and bring my head to the Duchess.
You're bleeding! Finally, the incubus can bleed. That means he can be killed. You aren't immortal, Charles, and I'll be the one to prove it.
The blond man ripped forward, raised the sword over his head, and let out a mighty bellow. I adjusted my feet and prepared to meet him head-on no matter what happened. There was no way I could injure him without being close, and if I had to get cut in a few places, so be it. I had to protect my home and my women no matter what, and I would put myself in the way of bodily harm to keep them safe. Lucien was within feet of me with his sword raised, and any second he would bring it down on the top of my head. I braced my legs in the gravel and then lifted my right arm to shield myself from the attack. From the cut he'd given me earlier, I knew the blade was sharp, but it wouldn't be able to chop my arm cleanly off, since it was a thin rapier. Sure, it had cut through multiple layers of my skin and possibly damaged the muscle underneath, but I wouldn't lose the limb entirely. I closed my eyes for half a second, but the blow never came, and a strange sensation all over my body forced me to open my eyes. It started out like a tingle, but the electrical charge changed, and it felt as if the air around me attempted to burn me out of existence. The clouds over my head had darkened and swirled around and raged. It had been a cold but sunny day, and the chance of a thunderstorm was out of the question. I hastily backed away with my eyes still aimed toward the sky, but Lucien hadn't seemed to notice, except for a slight pause. The blonde scientist lifted his sword for a second time, aimed it at my chest, and attempted to close the distance between us. This was it. I'd known it was coming for a long time, but managed to avoid it. This was the day where I had to fight absolute tooth and nail for my life. Lucien was out for blood, and I doubt that this time he'd relent for even a second. Before, it was as if we were just messing around. But now, this was a real fight, and we both knew that one of us wouldn't make it out alive.
"This is it, Charles Rayburn! You've given it a good fight, but it's time to give up. Edeny and I were meant to be together. I'd even say we were born to be with each other, and I won't allow some rat like you to get in the way. Say goodbye."
"Not yet, you slimy bastard!"
I roared. I raced forward, fully prepared to be sliced by Lucien's sword, but the scientist didn't seem to expect such a direct attack. The weapon dropped limply to his side, and he scrambled backward, but I wasn't going to allow him to escape. I took some inspiration from Valerie's moves, launched myself forward into the air, and slammed my boots into the middle of the blonde's chest. Lucien fell to the gravel, and I landed securely on top of him. I had no time to waste, so I brought back my right hand in a curled fist and pummeled him. Blood flew through the air in a fine mist, and I felt the bones of his facial structure fracture with each hit that I brought down. My arms were blurs through the air, but I didn't relent, even as he pleaded for mercy.
"Please! Please! Let me live!"
Lucien's face was so swollen that all of his words came out slurred and difficult to understand, but the look in his eyes told me what he wanted.
"I don't want to kill you, Lucien, but the only way I'll let you live is if you return to the capital and leave Edeny and I alone. Edeny doesn't love you, but I also want you to know there's nothing going on between us. Do you understand? If Edeny finds you here, your fate will be much worse than me just pummeling you for a few minutes."
"Yeah," the mangled man gasped. "I'll do whatever you want."
I rolled off him, breathed heavily for a second as my knuckles ached, and then offered him a hand. As the blonde leaned up, I got a good look at his face finally, and my stomach turned at the damage I'd done. Lucien's eyes were so swollen they were almost fused shut with drying blood. His lips were fat and bloody, and when they moved, it reminded me of a trout gasping for air. The right side of his face was misshapen with enormous goose eggs that were just starting to turn a purplish blue. The shoulders and collar of his shirt were soaked in his scarlet blood and stuck to him like a second skin.
"I'll call a carriage for you. We'll get you back home."
That's not necessary,"
Lucien grumbled.
I'll return home on my own.
Sure, sure. Where's your horse? I assume you came on one.
Over by the tree,
the beaten scientist pointed. All right, stay here and I'll go get it for you. I helped Lucien to his feet, and he wobbled there for a second but managed to stay upright. His bloodied hands moved over his features and then stopped on his flattened nose. I should have offered to treat him, but at this point I didn't really care. I was tired and wanted to get him out of here as soon as possible. I moved toward the tree line where the scientist pointed, and while I walked, I had the passing thought he'd try to attack me again. When I glanced back at him, I knew that wouldn't happen. The blonde was beaten to a pulp, and I doubted he had the energy in him to pick up his sword and fight me again. A rumble stopped me in my tracks, and I raised my eyes toward the darkened sky. The clouds directly above Lucien's head cracked open, and for a second I was blinded. I wasn't sure if the scientist was screaming to be heard or for some other reason, but his voice was barely a mumble over the enormous explosion. I had no time to run back and save him, but watched in horror as a massive lightning bolt slashed through him. Lucien's body was obscured by a flash of neon yellow and electric blue. I could barely make out his form within the haze, but it twitched so violently that it almost looked as if he were dancing. Just as suddenly as it started, it stopped, and I stared at the place where Lucien had just been standing. The man was gone, and where he'd been was nothing more than a smoking crater. My brain didn't comprehend what was inside of the deep pit for a second, and at first glance, I thought it was a deeply buried knot of tree roots. When I looked closer, I realized that wasn't what it was. It was the bloodied, burned remnants of Lucien's corpse. All of his skin had melted away, and most of the muscle was gone too. What remained of his bones had fused and morphed into a giant ball of blood and charred gore. I grunted, gasped, and then took an immediate step backward. I slowly raised my eyes, and as the smoke coming out of the crater cleared, I saw her. Edeni stood directly behind where Lucien stood, with her right hand raised. The Duchess's face was somber and emotionless as she glared down at the mangled body. But when she looked to me, her expression softened.
"He threatened to kill you,"
Edeni boomed.
"I had no other choice."
"He was going to leave. He was going to return to the capital."
"You almost died. Or you could have died, as I warned you earlier."
"He was going to leave. We could have spared him."
"I had no other choice."
The Duchess chuckled and rolled her eyes.
"I wasn't going to allow that vermin trash to kill the only man I've ever loved. Back to what I was saying, Charles. You could have died."
"Yes, but you took an innocent man's life. He was going to go home and leave us alone. Why are you here, Edeni? I thought you were out chasing Kalara."
"I didn't trust you to be here on your own."
"Yes, I understand that now. But I handled him perfectly well on my own. He was going to go home."
"You can believe that all you want. But I came here to give myself some peace of mind. And I'm glad I did, because this isn't looking good."
"I handled him! I convinced him to go back to the capital, and you killed him!"
"Oh, he could have just told you that, and killed you as soon as your back was turned. That's why I thought I'd bring in some reinforcements for you."
The smoke drifted beyond and away from the Duchess, and she raised both palms up to the sky. I heard it then, boots crunching against the gravel of the driveway, and I aimed my eyes toward the crest of the hill. At first it was only their heads and the ornate metal helmets crafted for Edeni's army. Line after line of soldiers tramped over the crest of the hill and fell into formation outside of my manor. No, by science, no! I specifically told Edeni that I didn't want this, and she'd gone against my wishes. If the soldiers were here, that meant we were trapped and couldn't go out to search for Kalara. I stared at Edeni, dumbfounded, but the Duchess seemed utterly unbothered. The blonde aristocrat held her hands behind her back and watched all of them fall into line. Edeni waited until everyone was in place, cleared her throat, and took an intimidating step forward.
"I believe that all of you've been briefed on the reason you're here. And if you haven't, here it is. You are to stay here and protect Charles Rayburn at all costs. His life is the only thing I care about. You mustn't allow Charles Rayburn or the aristocrats that reside in this manor to leave the premises. No one can come in or out, and there will be no shift changes. This is your station, and you will eat, sleep, and live here until the fugitive is caught, dead or alive. There are a few exceptions to the rules, which include I am allowed to leave and enter the manor, and so is Miss Josephine. But other than that, the three women who reside here with Charles Rayburn cannot leave the property, or the house for that matter. Is that understood?
Yes, Duchess,
the collective voices of 100 men answered, and I had to try not to groan into my hands.
Good. At ease. I will permit you to set up tents on the small hill below the house, but the property and manor must be patrolled at all hours of the day. Clara is a threat to not only me, but all of Edenheart, and I will not sit by idly while she ravages this town. I will leave you here until I find Clara and see to it she's punished for her crimes against this city and me. Now, I'm going back to the barracks to retrieve more of your comrades, and we'll be scouring the town together for that pesky little rat. If you would like to join me, raise your hand, and I will permit you this one time to come.
A few hands raised through the enormous sea of men, and Edeny waved them off to the side to wait for her. I stood in the gravel, utterly dumbfounded, and tried to find a way to get Edeny to make these men leave, but I came up with none. I couldn't go against the Duchess's wishes, even though I'd made it clear to her that I didn't want this. Edeny was the ruler of this city, and while Daisy may have owned the manor, it was the Duchess who made the rules in this area. Edeny moved over to the men who'd raised their hands and spoke to them quietly for a moment before she sauntered over to me. My hands curled into fists, and the dried blood on my knuckles flaked off into the dirt. I breathed in deeply and attempted to calm myself down, but it didn't seem to be working.
Now, Charles, you'll be safe and sound while I track down the beast that wants to kill us.
Edeny, I didn't want this. I told you back at your manor I didn't want guards or soldiers here. You're taking away our freedom. We're allowed to come and go here as we like.
Not anymore. And it's only for a few days, I promise. I'll find Clara, kill her, and send her back to the Queen as a warning. If she wants war, then so be it. I have an entire army of brutes behind me, and before long, I'll have an army of powerful monster women. Don't be sad, my love. As I just said, it's only for a few days, and I'll be able to visit here and there. I know that's why you're upset. You're worried that I'll be too busy to stop in any time you like.
Edeny, it's not that. This is Daisy's house. She owns this property.
She is doing a poor job of protecting you,
the blonde aristocrat shot back.
If I hadn't shown up, Lucien would have swung his sword one fatal time, and you'd be dead in the gravel of her driveway. I'm protecting you, and I'm no longer taking no for an answer. When an enemy attacks, we protect our assets.
So I'm an asset to you? I thought we were in love. This isn't love, Edeny. This is imprisonment.
You couldn't protect yourself against Lucien, and he was just a puny brute. How can I believe that you can protect yourself against a trained assassin when I witnessed the opposite? He didn't have powers, and you still got injured, Charles. I suggest that you accept my generous gift of protection. Go inside and get your wounds tended to. I'm sure that one of the monster women knows how to bandage a wound properly.
I opened my mouth to object, but the look in Edeny's violet eyes stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't fight this anymore, and I had to leave it be, get her off my back, and then come up with a solution once we had some breathing room.
Fine. But as soon as you find her, clear all of these men out and give us our freedom back.
I already said that's what's going to happen. Now go inside and get your arm bandaged. You're bleeding all over the place.
I glanced over at the cut arm, and the fabric of my shirt sleeve was soaked scarlet. I breathed a heavy sigh, clamped my hand over the deep slash, and cut off all of the circulation. I clambered up the stairs and opened the front door, but glanced back one last time. Edeny stood on the last stair and ordered all of the soldiers around with gestures of her hands. I sighed under my breath and then slipped inside the house. All of my women raced over to me, and their soft voices immediately soothed me.
"Charles!"
Valerie gasped.
"What happened? Oh, you're hurt!"
"Why is Edeny outside?"
Josephine cried.
"And why did she bring her whole army with her?"
Ryan asked.
"Charles?"
Daisy murmured.
"I saw Lucien outside the window right before the lightning bolt struck him. Is he dead?"
"Please, just give me a minute. I need to get my arm bandaged up before I lose too much blood."
"Oh!"
The brunette gasped, moved away from us, and hurried off toward the kitchen.
"I'll be right back."
"Come here, Charles,"
the imp woman soothed.
"Let's sit you down in the drawing room, and we'll tend to your arm while you tell us what happened."
My women guided me down onto the couch, and Valerie swiftly undid the buttons of my shirt before slipping it off my shoulders. The cat girl set it down on the brick pavers of the fireplace so no blood would get on our furniture, and hurried back to me. Daisy appeared in the doorway with a bundle of fabric, thick cotton pads, and a bottle of white liquid. The bear girl sat down beside me and used the cotton swabs to clean away the thick blood dripping down my arm.
"Oh, my,"
the brunette murmured.
"I think we're going to have to give you stitches, Charles."
"It's fine. I don't care, as long as it stops the bleeding."
"Ryan, will you go upstairs and get the sewing kit out of the desk drawer in the office?"
"And a candle,"
Josephine added.
"To sterilize the needle."
"No, no. Get the one from the medicine bag. It should be in the office. You've seen it, right? It's a big leather case where I keep all of my medical supplies. There should be a needle and medical thread in there, but do grab a candle. As Josephine said, you'll still need to get a candle to sanitize the needle." Ryan nodded and then headed upstairs to retrieve the items. Daisy cleaned my wound as best she could before the imp woman brought back the things I'd requested. The black-haired beauty set them down, lit the candle, and lowered herself onto the floor in front of me.
"So, tell us what happened,"
Valerie pleaded.
"Did Lucien attack you?"
"I came up the stairs with the maps, but he was there with a sword. I managed to hit him a few times, but I'm unarmed."
"And?"
"We fought. He managed to cut me, but I finally got on top of him and beat the life out of him. He finally said he'd go home. He wanted to live. And I went to retrieve his horse from the trees."
"Oh, no!"
I turned back, right as the sky opened up, and one moment, Lucien's there right in front of me, bloody and defeated. And the next, he's not, and there's a huge smoking crater."
"Edeny,"
Daisy murmured, picked up the needle, and slowly held it into the candle's flame. She killed him. Didn't say a word to him, just boom, and he's gone."
"Why are the soldiers here?"
Ryan asked. "Edeny's gone against our wishes. She brought them here to watch us and the property in case Kalara comes back."
"But what about our plan?"
the bear girl asked, quickly threaded the needle and held it over my cut.
"This is going to hurt, so prepare yourself."
"It won't hurt as much as getting stabbed by a sword. The plan? We don't have a lot of choices here."
"So we can't go after Kalara?"
the feline woman murmured. "Oh, I didn't say that. The plan didn't change, but our situation did. We've never backed down before. What do you say? Are you up for a challenge?"